Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil from your doings, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot! It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, Ah, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitence with righteousness. The destruction of transgressors and of sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the terebinth trees, which you have desired, and you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen. For you shall be as a terebinth whose leaf fades and is a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tinder, and the work of it as a spark. Both will burn together, and no one shall quench them. Verses 1 through 31, all of Isaiah chapter 1. Father, thank you today once again for the privilege of being able to come to you in prayer any time of the day or night, knowing that you always, always, always have a listening ear for the prayers of your children. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word, which guides us, counsels us, informs us, empowers us, and strengthens us in every area of our lives. More and more, help us to be faithful hearers and doers. And Lord, help us to be mindful of the truths that you teach us day by day. Help us to be mindful that Old and New Testament and all of the Word of God, you call your people to stand up for truth, to stand up for what's right, to look out for the widows, the orphans, the helpless, those who cannot look out for themselves. Stir us, Lord, to be a people that are committed to courageously doing what you've called us to do, to stand for truth in any and every context. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we are thankful that we can come to you in the name of Jesus, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. And God, you laid on him the iniquity of us all. What an amazing thought. What a mercy, Father. We thank you for that. We praise you for your love for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to remind you once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to receive some of the prayer tools or discipleship tools that we provide, we're glad to share them with you, hoping that you'll take and use them for you and your family, but also that you'll forward them, send them, pass them on to others, because, again, that helps us to be co-workers in the work of the Great Commission, going into all the world and making disciples. We are honored to have with us in studio today Joy Lucius. Joy is a staff writer. The gang, they're all excited to hear about Joy being back with us and to share more about her book. She is a staff writer with the AFA Stand, formerly the AFA Journal, and also she's the author of the book Priceless Pennies, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust. Joy, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Brother Joseph, for inviting me. I love being on this show because I just love the calm, sweet, and gentle spirit that we can just come together and pray and be Amen. In his presence. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And I want to ask if you'll take a moment just a little further, introduce yourself, and then we want to talk more about your book as well.
Well, thank you. I do work as a staff writer at formerly the AFA Journal. It's now called The Stand, and it's such an honor and a privilege. But for 23 years, I was a Mississippi public school teacher. I come from a family of Mississippi school teachers, and so this is a new endeavor, something that God just blessed me with in this season of my life. But I never thought, as a mother and a grandmother and a retired school teacher, that coming to AFA and writing for the journal, that it would take me on the journey to become a novelist for young adult books. Just never really crossed my mind. But in this journey, I get to meet lots of people, interview interesting people, and one day I got to interview the director of Unknown Child Foundation out of near Memphis, Tennessee, and that was just an opening that God used to put me in the right place at the right time and to offer me a job. I think we're all offered jobs and opportunities in which we can learn more about him and his people, but we have to accept the assignments that That's he gives right. us.
And what was the name of that organization again?
Unknown Child Foundation. Okay. They were birthed out of, amazingly, I think this is pretty appropriate, in Horn Lake, Mississippi. There was a class of students under the leadership of Miss Susan Powell, and they were studying World War II and the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And Miss Powell soon discovered that her kids just were not getting it. They were not understanding the enormity of what the Holocaust and World War II cost us as a world. Mm-hmm. And so she tried to bring it on home to them. And so she kept telling them, do you realize that 1.5 million children, Jewish children, were killed in the Holocaust? 6 million Jews and almost 12 million soldiers and civilians. Altogether, we lost almost 12 million souls. Mm-hmm. And they could not, it was like it just couldn't, it didn't resound. Mm-hmm. And so she said, wonder what a 1.5 million looks like. Mm-hmm. If we could collect, say, pennies, 1.5 million pennies, what would that look like? Mm-hmm. And so she challenged them. She said, let's figure out what that looks like. And they began to collect pennies. And literally, over the next 4 years, as they matured and went into high school, their families, their community, even homeschool groups from the area began mm-hmm. to help them collect those 1.5 million pennies, and they did. Mm-hmm. But out of that, the community began to ask, what do we do with the pennies? Mm-hmm. And so that's where Unknown Child Foundation was birthed. It's a group of Jews and Gentiles that come together to honor those children and to preserve their memory. And so I got to meet Ms. Diane McNeil, who's the president and founder of that foundation. And she, I interviewed her, and then she invited me to come to Hernando to tour the museum there and see the Unknown Child exhibit.
So, well, now, which museum is that?
It's in the DeSoto County Museum.
DeSoto County Museum. Mm-hmm, and that houses?
That houses the Unknown Child exhibit.
Okay.
So my sister and I made a date to go and visit, and what occurred at that meeting was absolutely unbelievable. We mm-hmm. finished the tour. Everything was done. It was very powerful. And they realized they had forgotten to turn the sound system on.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to get a little recorder so we could hear a version of it, and it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
After several attempts, and finally, they just explained to me, we bought the names of 300 of the children, and they're read solemnly throughout the day, and you will hear their names, their date of birth, their date of death, mm-hmm. and it's just a solemn recitation. Finally, just as they were saying, never mind, we're so sorry, the sound system came on, and I heard two names.
Mm-hmm.
Rose Abulafia, 1932 to 1944, Odette Abulafia, 1936 to 1944. And I began to scream because mm-hmm. no one else there knew except my sister that in my purse I had one picture.
Mm-hmm.
And in my research, I kept coming back to this one picture of two dark-haired, beautiful French sisters from Paris, France. And I pulled the picture mm-hmm. out, and at the bottom of the picture, the names were Rose and Odette Abulafia. Mm-hmm. So at that moment, we all knew that God had given us an assignment to find out about these two mm-hmm. little girls and their story because they mattered to Him.
You know, Joy, I've heard you tell this powerful story before, and what it makes me think is probably an angel touched the machine right at the right time.
I think so, too.
So you all could hear those two names and know God was speaking powerfully to you, you know. So, again, such a powerful story. We're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Joy Lucius. She's a staff writer with the AFA Stand and is the author of Priceless Pennies, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust. We'll be right back.
Thank you. speak from heaven. We call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven. We call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven. We call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness. Super amazing.
Music of Dunsin Oyekan with Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest is Joy Lucia. She's a staff writer with the AFA Stand and the author of Priceless Pennies, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust. Joy, if someone wants to get the book, how can they get it?
Resources.afa.net. You can purchase it there. And we're just excited about how many people have purchased it and are reading it. And a lot of people ask me, is it appropriate for children? It was written for children. I'm a school teacher. I taught middle school, high school, and that was my audience. I believe that's what God called me to do, is to minister to those age group, and they minister to me.
You know, Joy, I think an important truth to point out, too, is that this is, as you mentioned, it's a very powerful reality that happened in our history.
Yes.
And it's unwise to hide things like that from our children, because it really did happen. And also, you know, of course, in a couple days, in the next 2 or 3 days, we'll be commemorating the International Holocaust Day.
That's correct.
Well, again, it happened. And also this month happens to be Sanctity of Human Life Day. And sometimes people make the mistake of thinking, well, we don't need to teach our children or tell them about abortion. Children know about abortion already. You know, I'm reminded of just very briefly an instance where my wife was doing a children's message. She wasn't talking about abortion, but two little boys, well, she was asking them, what are you thankful for? And some of the kids said the normal things, thankful for my mom, my home, those things. Two little boys, probably both younger than 8 years old, said, I'm thankful my mama didn't abort me.
Oh, Joseph.
Well, so they knew what abortion was and probably knew a brother or a sister or a cousin or a friend is not here because of it. So we need to, in the right way, in the appropriate way, but help our children realize this is something that has happened and this is something we can do to help stand up against this tragedy as well in the future.
It is. And
today and the future as well.
Before I left my desk today, I checked the meter, the world meter, and it's only January, the end of January, and already in this year, in this month alone, almost 3 million babies have been aborted in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, since 1963, we're responsible for well over 60 million of those.
That's
so you talk about 1.5 million in the Holocaust and 60-something million in America. So, yes, it's very important that our children understand that, and they need to know that God holds us accountable. As Isaiah 1 said, the blood is on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it is our responsibility to teach them the truth of the value of life.
That's
if
right.
they don't value life and they don't understand that value, then we'll make those same mistakes over and over again. We will continue to see abortions. And God help us, we might someday see another Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to teach our children. And I really think that as I wrote this book, that was my my one thought that was always in the back of my mind, we have to teach children. Mm-hmm. They can't forget. And when you talk about it, when you ask, like you're talking about abortion, when you ask in schools, in churches, there are a lot of children who have no idea what the Holocaust was.
That's true. And, you know, Joy, it's good for us to know, too, that just like the children that participated in this initial project, mm-hmm. they got involved with something important to help make an important statement of truth. We can mobilize our children to be a part of the work of the kingdom of God,
yes.
Obviously to spread the gospel and also to stand up for life and against the tragedy of abortion, the tragedy of realities like the Holocaust as
yes.
well. So mobilizing the children to be a part of the solution is a very wise thing for us as the church to do today.
One of the things that I am most excited about this past month in The Stand, one of our newest writers, Lauren Bragg, interviewed a young girl from Texas in a middle school in Texas who read Rose and Odette, mm. and she used it as her book project. She mm. presented the story to her classmates, and I just think that's the most powerful thing to know that something that God allowed me to write, mm-hmm. then in turn gave a middle school student the power. I mean, and the courage to stand up in front of her classmates and tell that story and use that book. Talk mm-hmm. about amazing! That's amazing.
Right. Amen. Amen. Well, so in your journey, then, so after you heard the recording say the names of those two little girls, Rose and Odette, you sensed that clearly that was the Lord giving you a green light to move
yes.
forward. So what basically happened at the next step?
Well, I love research. So I came home and I began to research, and I thought, man, this is going to be great, because if God did this miraculous work to bring these two girls to our hearts, then this story is just going to pour out of the computer. I'm going to find it. Mm-hmm. Joseph. I researched day after day for over 6 months, and everyone in here helped me, all mm-hmm. my coworkers. We would search and search in our downtime. They did not exist. We knew within 30 minutes after coming back and beginning to work, we knew that Rose and Odette Abulafia and their mother and father died in Auschwitz. We knew that the minute that they got off of their train, they were marched immediately to the showers, and they were gassed to death. And we knew that because they were on a very particular train, mm-hmm. One that had actually been talked about in the Nuremberg trials after the war. So we knew. And so at that point, it was like, okay, God, there is no story. They, you know, most stories you read about the Holocaust and about the concentration camps are so graphic and vivid, and they tell the story of survival, but theirs wasn't a story of survival. Mm-hmm. So I was at a standstill, mm-hmm. and we just began to pray. That's the awesome thing about working here. We just began to pray, and we left it for Christmas, and we came back, and I told my boss, I was like, okay, if God doesn't give us something, we're going to have to put this aside and just wait and just let it go. Mm-hmm. And we turned on the computer and pulled up Yad Vashem, the Jewish memorial website, and someone had placed a new picture of someone they called Rose and Odette Abulafia. Mm-hmm. They were older. It looked nothing like the picture I had. And we all stood around and looked at it, and I kept saying, it just doesn't look like them. Mm-hmm. And the date on it was 1944. And so Mr. Murphy, our boss, he said in a very quiet voice, he said, Joy, they had lived 3 years in occupation in Paris. And he said their father had been murdered 2 years earlier, and they had grown up in that time, and they had lived a harsh life in those 3 years. He said, Joy, I think it's them. I think mm-hmm. that is them. And so we pursued. There was a name on the bottom of that picture, and it was Jean, J-E-A-N-A. So mm-hmm. I thought, okay, that's Abulafia. Mm-hmm. Well, I looked and looked and looked on the internet, on Facebook, everywhere, could never find him. Mm-hmm. And so finally, I did manage to find his work place. Mm-hmm. And sent him a very terse email. He replied and told me that those were his aunts and they had died in the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, that cannot be your aunts. There were only four members of that family. But Brother Joseph, across the next year, we discovered his father and his uncle had survived. Mm-hmm. They had been secreted out of Paris by the Salvation Army and the Boy Scouts mm-hmm. in the bottom of a garbage truck. Mm-hmm. And after the war, they changed their name. They didn't want to be known and as Abba Lafia because they learned that the best Jew is a hidden Jew. And mm-hmm. so for the rest of their life, they had another name. Mm-hmm. It was just an amazing discovery. And since then, we have become online email friends with this family, and mm-hmm. we've learned so much, and they helped us put the book together and tell the real story of Rose and Odette.
Mm. And so once you made that connection, you were able to get a whole lot more information
yes.
of the book, too, then. So.
In the book, there are family pictures, family documents, and they offered those to me. But the amazing thing is, this man, who is my age, mm-hmm. He knew nothing of this. His mm-hmm. father had died in October of that year, and when they cleaned out his father's home, they found a suitcase. Mm-hmm. And in the suitcase were pictures and documents, and all he had ever known was the picture that I had mm-hmm. and a picture of his grandparents sat on a table in their home, in their foyer, and all he had known his entire life was, those are my grandparents and those are my aunts. They were killed in World War II. That's all he ever knew. Mm-hmm. And so together we pieced an amazing story. Talk mm-hmm. about amazing. Mm. And so it has touched me. It has touched everyone here. And I believe it's going to continue to touch people.
And you even helped him to learn so much about his own family that he never, ever knew.
He never knew. One day he told me, he emailed me and said, today I've taken the day off and I'm going to take a tour and make you pictures of Paris. And he did. He went and made a picture of their apartment building. And mm-hmm. that night he wrote me back and he said, Joy, I have spent the day angry and crying. He said, because as I took a picture of Rose and Odette's apartment building, I was standing in front of another apartment building, a place that we had gone to our entire lives, the place where my parents' best friends lived. And he said, not once did my father ever say to me as we went into our friend's building, look, over there is where we lived before your grandparents and your aunts were killed. Mm-hmm. Not once. Mm-hmm. And so he said, it's been a journey of joy, a journey of grief, but it's just been a journey of finding out a story that evidently mattered so much to the heart of God mm-hmm. that he used an old grandmother, a retired school teacher from Mississippi, and a man from far away in Paris, France, to tell that story.
Mm. And, you know, something I think of too, Joy, is that I trust he'll grow in his understanding of the fact that sometimes people are so traumatized by
yes.
something or an issue or reality that they feel like, I can't repeat it.
So,
I can't talk about it.
So many times you come across that. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's why even now we're just now beginning to hear stories of the Holocaust, because these survivors are 80 and 90 years old, mm-hmm. and they are just now coming to a point where they can express that grief and that loss. Mm-hmm. And so he did. He came to a point where he said, you know, I've realized that my dad just could not share it. It was too mm-hmm. much. And mm-hmm. so he's come to a place of forgiveness and a place of acknowledgement of the depth of that that loss. And so that's a loss that we have to help our children understand. It's a loss we don't ever want to suffer again.
That's right.
And that's the story that needs to be told.
Mm. You know, I recall years ago, I had an uncle that fought in World War II, and uh-huh. on one occasion just asked him, tell me about some of your experiences.
Yeah.
He didn't want to talk. Yeah. He didn't want to say anything about it. And so, again, the reality of sometimes when memories are so traumatizing, it's good for us to recognize, you know, they can't share it. We just pray for the person.
Yes.
Because, again, we don't know. We haven't walked the shoes they walked in.
We don't know the depth of that suffering.
That's right. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to walk and follow you. And thank you for the beauty of how that by your Spirit you've guided Joy and those who worked with her to help put together this powerful and beautiful book. And thank you for the message and the many messages and the truths behind the book. Thank you for the truth that every life that you created matters.
Yes.
Every life is important. Every life is unique. Every life is a gift to the world. Help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that every life is precious. And help us, Lord, to be believers who are listening to you and are willing to be vessels through which you can work to help the world better know that every life is precious. Thank you for the opportunity to be a vessel you can use in that way. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Joy, tell our listeners again, if they'd like to get the book, how they can do that.
Resources.afa.net.
All right, then. And again, the title, Priceless Pennies, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust. We'll be right back. Music of Amanda Lindsay Cook with Still. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest is Joy Lucia. She's a staff writer with the AFA Stand and the author of Priceless Pennies, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust. And just before Joy comes back, I'm going to read a passage that comes to mind that's a powerful passage about people courageously standing up for the innocent and those that cannot stand for themselves. Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty, And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. And Joy, you know, in reading this story, it's such a powerful story of an instance where, once again, the Jewish people were targeted, sadly, in history. And it's sad to think of how many Holocausts have happened down through the years.
Yes.
And so the one during World War II was one of a number of during history. But here we see God raised up two little heroines, Shipra and Pua, their names are not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture before this and never again. However, they really stand as giants in the kingdom of God because of the courage that they took and the courage they had. And they decided, we fear God more than man, and we are not going to kill these precious babies. And so they stood up, and when Pharaoh realized the babies weren't being killed, he calls them in. And if you can picture that, how intimidating that could be, but you see how God gave them wisdom and grace. And in a manner of speaking, it was like they say, "Well, Pharaoh, you know, these Hebrew women are just so healthy, they just pop those babies out before we get there." They were able to outsmart the mighty Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had to change his whole strategy in what he was trying to do. So for some that might say, "Well, see, he kept killing the children." That's true, but they saved some.
Yes.
And one of them probably was a little boy named Moses. So we should never think that when we stand up courageously for truth and for right, that it doesn't make a difference. It always makes a difference. But any thoughts that come to mind in relation to the book, too?
Well, I always think of Corrie ten Boom, and we've talked about her before. Even as a child, she was my hero. She was just very much a normal woman. She had never been married. She lived with her father and her sister, and he was a watchmaker. And she ended up, well, her entire family ended up hiding and saving Jews in their home. They were a well-respected, well-known Christian family in their community. Mm-hmm. But I doubt seriously she ever thought that she would have to come to a point where she saw family members die and sacrifice their lives for Jewish people. Courage is not born in an instant. Mm-hmm. Courage is built, and I think it's built in exactly what you just read, the fear of God. If we're not instilling the fear of God in our children, then they are going to fear man more than they fear God. And those two little midwives, repeatedly it talks about how they feared God. And I believe the fear of God had been instilled in Corrie ten Boom her whole life. And so it was just a natural instinct to do what she did. And I think that we as Americans, especially in this time, we were born for such a time as this. And if we don't have the courage to stand today in just the smallest ways, it could be anything. Someone just comes to you and asks you your opinion, or it could be a conversation among your friends, or it could be an opportunity to help an unwed mother, or just like your wife sitting and talking to those little bitty kids in the middle of a Sunday school classroom. If you don't have the courage now to talk and to say and to do the things that God calls you to do, you will never have the courage in the time of darkness. And so I think that's a key, that we have to fear God more than we fear man. Man can kill us, but God can cast us into eternal darkness. And so I don't want that blood on my hands. I want to teach my children. I have four grandchildren, and I pray every day that they will learn the fear of God, and they will learn to live for him in the small things, so that when the large things come, they'll be prepared through the word and through his spirit to face whatever God calls them to face.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, Joy, I think of this, that, you know, Thursday, January 28th, is International Holocaust Day, and it's a day in which, if you can just share with our listeners why this day happens and what the mission behind this day, basically.
This day is actually celebrated around the world, and tomorrow, I believe that's tomorrow, all over the world, but especially in Israel, in Jerusalem, there will be a time of remembering those 6 million people who were killed simply because they were Jews. Mm-hmm. And it's also a time for us to remember. And as we've said repeatedly, if we don't remember, if we forget, then we'll just repeat the past. And so after the war, Israel as a nation, when they were reborn as a nation and given their homeland back, when they determined that they would never forget. And so this is one of the ways that they do that. They celebrate and honor the people who were lost. Mm-hmm. But I think it was something we need to think about every day, that we need to mm-hmm. remember not the people that were lost, but also the people that that gave their life to prevent that.
Right.
And so I think when we look back 80 years from now in America, we're going to be appalled, because there is coming a day when we're going to be post-Roe America.
That's right. That's right.
And when we do, and when our children look back at us, they're going to look back at everyday common heroes like Corrie Ten Boom, who stood
That's
up
right.
to save one life, or
mm-hmm.
like those midwives who stood up to just save as many as they could. And so I think that's the lesson of International Holocaust Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the lesson of every day, that we should remember and mm-hmm. do what we can do, what we are given to do. I live in a small town in Mississippi, and you would think that I couldn't do anything to change the world. But as through obedience and through fear of the Lord, you can do all kinds of things. I write, but other people paint. My mother was a person who loved to cook and just do for other people. Whatever gifts and callings that God has put on your life, mm-hmm. He will use those if you're willing to offer them to Him to minister to other people.
Joy, would you specifically pray for listeners and the church as a whole
yes.
for to courageously
seek
to stand for what and be used by God however He desires to use them in addressing these kinds of issues?
Father God, we thank You so much that You are I am that I am. And Lord, You are not surprised by anything that happens. You've already made a plan. And Lord, Your plan involves Your people, but we have to be obedient to hear and see and obey, a heart of
yes.
obedience. So Lord, I ask right now that every listener, every person will just offer their obedience up as a sacrifice of praise to God and just say, today, Lord, use me the way You want to. Show me what I can do to change one person's day, one person's life. And Lord, then give us a heart to obey quickly. And God, show us ways, just creative, unbelievable ways that we can reach out and help other people. And Lord, You are no respecter of persons. If You can take a 50-something-year-old grandmother in the middle of a museum in Mississippi, and You can bring a miraculous story to her to tell, there are so many miraculous ways that You are willing and that You want to share Your plans and Your purposes with Your people. So, Lord, truly give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to obey. We love You, Lord, and we seek to do what You've called us to do with every day of our life. We thank You and praise You. Amen.
And, Father, I do thank You for servants that you've used down through the years who courageously stood
yes.
for You and stood for truth. Thank You for Shipra and Pua. Thank You, Lord, for Corrie Ten Boom and many others who stood up and hid Jews and helped them during the Holocaust of World War II. And thank You, Lord, for many that You've raised up today that are standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Father, speak to the heart of every listener. More and more, speak to the hearts of believers in the church all over the world to recognize, Lord, that You're calling us to courageously stand for the precious children in the womb who can't speak for themselves, who can't cry out, who can't run. Lord, help us to recognize that abortion is our modern-day Holocaust, and Your question to every one of us is, what are You going to do? Help us to be willing to do whatever You've called us to do. Help us to be willing to volunteer at pregnancy clinics or to give financially, help yes. raise them up. Help us to be willing to support pro-life ministries that are doing great works, and help us to do help us to listen enough to do whatever you're calling us individually and collectively as the church to do as well. And help us to know that every courageous servant and what they do in obedience to you makes a difference. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, in the last few moments of the broadcast, as we usually do, before we end our time, if you're listening and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day to get saved. Today is a great day to give your life to Christ. If you'd like to make that step and commit your heart and your life to Christ, would you simply pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins and wrongs. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from that wrong. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, please email us. My email is jparker@afa.net, the letter J, jparker@afa.net. We'd like to hear from you and share with you some literature and resources that will help you grow up in your new walk with the Lord. Joy, thank you so much for being with us. Tell our listeners one more time if they want to get the book, Priceless Pennies.
Go to resources.afa.net and look for the picture of Rose and Odette.
All right. Again, the full name, Priceless Pennies, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust. Joy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a blessing.
And hope that every single listener will make it your business to get the book and read it and hear the powerful story therein. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.